July 2021, almost a year after he was in the custody of the ICC, he had a hearing before the pre-trial session, which confirmed the charges against him, and the actual trial began in April 2022. This is, by standards of the ICC, quite a rapid confirmation and beginning of trial, given the difficulties they found in conducting other trials before the court. The trial is going, now regularly. There are no less than five sessions that are scheduled between 30th of January and the 7th of February of this year. So the sessions are going at a very rapid pace, and therefore it's very likely that we will have the conclusion of this trial very soon.
The statement released by members of the UN Security Council on Wednesday notes the efficiency and speed of the trial so far, which you've just talked about. The statement also talks about the opening up of the process to witnesses and communities affected by the crimes in question to participate. Tell me about the significance of that.
This is very important. If we look at the case of the other invitees, those who are facing arrest warrants from the ICC, Omar al-Bashir, Abdulrahim Muhammad Hussein, and Ahmed Haroun, the ICC was not able to travel to Sudan and conduct actual investigations on the crimes for which they are charged. You know, they conducted their investigations as refugees, either in neighboring countries who fled the killings and from Darfur in Eastern Shar, for example, or refugees elsewhere. And this is a major limitation in the investigations of the ICC, as long as they cannot actually interview eyewitnesses, survivors, victims of the alleged crimes against humanity, war crimes, and genocidal crimes that the ICC has the mandate to investigate. And therefore, the fact that they were able to, interview witnesses and victims from the area where Ali Khosheb is alleged to have committed these crimes attributed to him is very significant. And it must be said that this was only possible because during the first phase of the transition that followed the demise of the regime of Omar al-Bashir in April of 2019, the civilian-led government of Dr. Abdullah Hamdok and the Minister of Justice at the time, Nasruddin Abdel Bari, gave access to the ICC investigators to travel to Sudan and talk to different stakeholders, not only were they able to engage in dialogue with Sudanese authorities. In this case, the point of contact was the Minister of Justice and the Attorney General Office. But also, they were able to have discussions with representatives of the victims and to, look into some of the information gathered by the Attorney General's office at the time, who gave them access to that information. And therefore, this was a key, the role of access and facilitation that the ICC benefited from during that window of cooperation.
Speaking of cooperation, members of the UN Security Council also talked about challenges in non-cooperation by mostly the Sudanese state. We know the trials of then Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta and his deputy and now incumbent William Ruto in 2014 and 2016 failed because of insufficient evidence resulting from a lack of cooperation from the Kenyatta administration. How do you compare that with the situation with Sudan's military rulers today?
Of course, in the case of Kenya, it was not only the lack of cooperation from the government, but also the witnesses that were supposed to, give testimony before the judges on the crime that occurred in the post-election violence. Several of those witnesses, basically withdraw their cooperation, and most likely, you know, it is very much suspected that they were, you know, exposed to some measure of intimidation.
Witness intimidation.
Yeah, some measure of encouragement between brackets, you know, to suggest that, you know, they stay silent and so on. So the lack of information, confirmation from direct victims or witnesses were the key factor in the outcome of the trial of William Ruto and Uhuru Kenyatta in 2014 and 2016 before the ICC. In the case of Sudan, there was, as I said, a measure of cooperation during the civilian-led leadership of the transitional government, but then not sufficiently to allow the investigators to deploy to Darfur.